First, I want to do on Parshas Noach. There is so much. Literally, every pasuk is just chock full of brilliant ideas. When Noach offers his offerings after emerging from the teva, so Hashem describes, the pasuk describes, "Vayarach Hashem es reach hanichach." Hashem smelled, would be the literal translation, the odor, the aroma of the offerings, and said to himself, "I will no longer ever curse the earth because of man, ki yetzer lev ha'odom ra min urav, because the inclination of mankind literally would mean is evil from his youth, and therefore we'll no longer have a mabul." And of course, we eventually get the bris of the rainbow. Two quick points. Rav Hirsch is lengthy with him, just to touch on the idea of reach hanichoach. Why do we use such a language that Hashem smells the aroma of the korban? What's the meaning of that particular usage, that phrase? So Rav Hirsch says a very fascinating insight. We have five senses. Two of the senses that we have, sight and ability to hear, require a person to be nowhere near the object that he's looking at. From very far distance away, I don't have to have any personal contact to be able to see something or to be able to hear something. Two of the senses, taste and feel, require the exact opposite. I need to be like up and in them. I need to taste something, literally has to go into my mouth, and to feel something, I have to be able to touch it. So those two senses are really close. Sight and hearing is really far, and smell bridges the gap. To smell something, I need to be close enough that the particles of the item reach my nostrils. So I need to be somewhat close. If it's too far away, I'm not going to smell it. But I don't need to be in it the way I need to feel or to eat something, to taste it. So it's close enough, but not really there. Which is why we use that language of like a hint of something. It has a reach. Chazal described when something has a little bit of something, has a reach of whatever it is that they're talking about, there's like a hint of it. A reach anichoach. Rav Hirsch understands when a human being brings a karban, is a testimony of, I'm ready to serve. But it's just a reyach, because that's not actually serving. Meaning serving is shachris min chamar, being an honest person, acting with integrity, keeping Torah mitzvahs. That requires a lot. Bringing a karban, you can come once and bring a karban and go home and be an awful person. But it's a symbol that says, I want it. This is what I plan on doing. So it has a reyach of, this is what I intend on doing, this is what I want to do, and it's a sign to Hashem, almost as if a parent or a teacher would receive from a child or a student, I'm in, I want it. Okay, great, this is the shemes, the remes, it's here, I hear it, but let's now see that it should be brought to its fulfillment. And he has a whole piece on that, the concept of why we use the language of reyach nichoach for a korban. There's much more on that. I just wanted to touch on that one little point. The idea of yetzer lev ha'odom ra minu urav, the inclination of man is evil from its youth. First, is real brilliant. Na'ar. What does the word na'ar mean? So the word na'ar for youth actually means to stir or to shake off. Lina'er is to shake off. We talk chozer v'ne'or. We discuss in Hilchas Bishul and in Yarav Adea, the idea of stirring something. The Torah describes in Az Yashir how the Egyptians were stirred up in the Yamsuf. Why do we call our youth a na'ar, to be shaken or to stir? So Rav Hirsch writes, because youth, the young, I have a school administration present, they don't listen. They're programmed in their youth not to accept upon themselves the yoke of responsibility, not to accept upon themselves the yoke of obedience, of self-control. That's not yet the stage of life they're at. And they shake off impressions. They shake off good impressions. You give them bad impressions. They won't take any of it. They're willing to shake it off. And they shake off all levels of responsibility. It's the nature of what it is. And Rav Hirsch, in his always the strong language, says that nature, which appears as obstinacy, it's so frustrating. You're dealing with the youth, and no matter what you tell them, and no matter what you ask them to do, it's always against whatever the requirement is. He says, woe to the person who sees in youth anything evil. That's not evil. That's the natural growth of a child. Yes, it's obstinate, and it's frustrating. It's not evil. Not only is it not evil, but these are his bold statements, which he loves to make. The whole morality of the future of mankind has its roots in that nature of youth. Because once that youth matures and takes that koach, that strength that God has given to every single human being of, this is how I'm going to be, and no matter what you try to do to me, I'm on my own course of independence. When that child matures and chooses the path of Torah and mitzvos, and of morality, and of ethics, there isn't anything in the world that's going to take him off of that path. And morality would never survive the human race if it weren't for the obstinacy of the human beings who, once they mature and take that independence that they've brought their whole youth to being able to create, and now that they have it, when they then shift it and direct it into a moral, ethical life, and then they take that same obstinacy, I don't care what's going on around me, this is the right way to live, and the Jewish people have survived only because, as Rav Hirsch writes, Hashem chose us not because we're the most malleable, because we're an amche oref, we're a stiff-necked people, that once we get an idea in our head, once we're committed to something, we'll never give it up. And that's the Yetzer Lev HaAdam. It's Rami, I don't get into the whole, the way he explains the whole pasuk. Hashem says, I'll never destroy the world no matter what's going on, but the idea of minu urav, from one's youth, and the yetzer that we have, is actually the blessing that we have, and that will be the future independence of mankind is all based on us developing that sense and then channeling it in for the good, and then as parents and educators, just surviving the youth as they go through that until that actually comes to fruition.